Hey everybody, this is Ruthie Wren, and you are listening to Defining Kinks, my new shiny podcast that focuses on, well, defining kinks, whether we're trying to figure out the bread and butter of them, or we are just discussing the kinks that we feel define us, that we've discovered in our lives. So if you missed it, the last couple of weeks we've had some awesome episodes. We've touched on the lovely kink of dirty talk, which you can assume why I like that. And then last week we touched on oral sex, which is a popular one. This week I am here with, I have the lovely Jay Wild of Reddit. Thank you for being on the pod.
Of course, not a problem.
Awesome. And we are going to actually, we're going to talk about kink responsibility and practicing safe kink and what that means, because, well, I realized I kind of jumped, I tried to run before I could walk, and we jumped right into the kinks, and then I was like, hey, you know what, maybe people need a little preamble of trying new things. Mm-hmm. So that's what this up, we're dialing it back. See, mistakes are made sometimes and you got to dial it back. And this works in all areas of life, including exploring kinks and your sexuality. So, awesome. So, Jay Wild, we're just going to jump right in, and I'm going to ask you the question. When you think of kink responsibility and practicing safe kink, what is the importance of it and appeal of it to you, personally, and why does it matter?
Well, I think that in order to try new things, you need to be educated on them. Mm-hmm. So being safe and practicing safe kink means that you know what's going to happen. And I think everything begins with consent, for mm-hmm. sure.
Oh, yeah.
There has to be communication both ways and make sure that the communication is very clear in order to try new things. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love that you said consent. Huge, huge thing.
Yes.
When I posted, as I will for a lot of the topics on the show, I like posting questions to just get, questions thrown at me. Questions people might have, misconceptions, things they want to hear more about discussed. And so many of the questions, if a preamble of consent and discussion goes down, almost all of those questions would be answered, you know, or, yes, you know, all these reservations, you know, a lot of them were very one-sided. I'm worried about this on my end or this on my partner's end. And I didn't want to like kick a dead horse, but my response was always talk about it. It's okay to talk, yes, about it beforehand. In fact,
it's very important.
It's very important. Yeah, it's almost like preheat in the oven, you know, like for a lot,
yes,
of things. So it's I mean, like, you know, call it a sexual,
like,
innuendo,
you know,
if you will.
The foreplay either.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that type of thing. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, I know some people, and I know there are some, you know, moments where it just happens, but most of the time there is some preamble to sex. And I think a discussion is totally cool. You know, I think it should be there somewhere. So,
and I think when it does just happen, there should be a discussion later on, too. You know, what did you like about that? What didn't you like about that? You know,
yes,
was that okay? You know?
Yeah. You don't. Yeah. And I think I've talked about it in a previous episode. It doesn't have to be like a clipboard session here. Like, okay, well,
no,
you know, at minute 7, no, I did this. What did you feel? You know, we don't need to be that crazy. Like, come on,
no,
guys. It's kind of like when you watch a movie with your friends. Well, oh yeah, you know, I really loved this part of the movie. It's that easy to talk about,
yes,
it. You know, it's not, it doesn't have to be, you know, we're not talking about making a mechanical study session, you know, or a research paper.
No.
But it's okay to talk about what you liked, what you didn't like, or what you loved most. I found personally for me, just the way I communicate and the way my personality is, I tend to focus in on what I really loved, you know, as opposed to things that I didn't love as much or, you know, whatever, because mm-hmm. I want the point across that, oh, I really loved this. And I feel like that's really good.
So, I think my husband says it best. He always says there's 3 C's of any relationship, whether it be friendship, family, romantic, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3 C's of any relationship are communication, communication, and communication.
Yeah.
If you don't communicate, it just, it doesn't work. It really doesn't work. Where, however you communicate, you need to communicate.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I think that it's so funny. Anybody, and if you ask them, you can. I'm not keeping any secrets here. Any of my guests who have been on the show, they will probably tell you that I communicate the shit out of everything to them before episodes.
Which is important.
Which is important. I think my thing is my way of life in anything. Anybody who's seen my posts, my comments, anything, I'm known for being the paragraph texter, because I would rather over communicate and feel that I'm being really clear than just give you a little blurb that can be misconstrued and then have to go through like a volley of 8 million questions.
Especially in text, for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I'd rather give you 9 sentences than 1 sentence and have you like possibly wonder about things. So
exactly.
So that's just the way and usually it works pretty well for me. Yes, communication, that's probably like step numero uno for a lot of this. So speaking of communication, something I wanted to talk about, because we're practicing safe kink, and let's just say your level of communication was not super thorough, but kind of like, hey, let's just try this thing. As far as safe kink, something that I would encourage then, if you're not a hugely communication, or maybe you don't even know what you're trying to communicate, you just want to kind of jump in. I would suggest, and probably you can echo me here, Jay, safe words. Safe signals.
Huge.
Huge thing. I mean, I would say that's almost... I would say you should just have them in general, because sometimes even in less, I would say maybe less kinkier venues of sex, sometimes you just need to pull on a stop. You just do. Your head's not in it, and or you're having issues or something. You need to
have some way. Right, and stop doesn't always come through.
No, it doesn't. Yeah,
especially in non-con play, you say stop, they're just going to keep going. So having a safe word or a green light system, a light system, red light, yellow light, and green light. But I prefer safe words over lights. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like exploring choking, you're going to need something that isn't a word, that you can do, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So safe words and safe gestures, whatever, motions are very important to talk about beforehand, I think, even if you're not doing great big kinks.
Oh, yeah. No, I think the point is for me, and like you've kind of said, even if you're not exploring like a new kink or something more extreme, that's your norm. Just being able to have that out ability.
Yes.
Whatever reason. The point is you shouldn't, when it comes to if you've communicated beforehand, you shouldn't have to be embarrassed to need an out for whatever reason. It doesn't.
Right.
Because like we've both established, numero uno is consent as well. So, if you have a moment where you're like, I'm not okay with this, you're even internally, you're withdrawing your consent and you need to be able to stop.
You're allowed to change your mind.
You are allowed to change your mind. I don't care if you've been with the person 5 minutes or 50 years. You're allowed to change your mind.
If it's a healthy relationship, they'll let you change your mind. Yes.
Exactly.
Go
ahead.
I think another thing that is important to talk about before you try anything is also your hard limits. Because one person's bondage is, not the same as another person's. And if you just talk about it in vague terms without, going, okay, well, I don't mind being tied up, but handcuffs are a no-go. Add your hard limits in there, because they need to know where is the stop line. That you know for sure. And if you don't know them, you can talk about them later. Like afterwards, that's why I stopped this, is because this ended up being a hard limit for me. That type of thing. Yeah. So it's important to have that door open too.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And I love how you said what somebody's bondage here is not somebody's over here. I've discussed this in my episode 0, where, somebody is trying to look into a kink, and they go on these click trails on the internet. And, what they might look up for submissive, if you go down one avenue, you might end up at pet play. which, mm-hmm. you know, if and this is not a judgmental tone, but if you look at some of them, it does end up with like caging and collars and very, very submissive.
Yes.
Even I don't talk because I'm that submissive. I only listen. Mm-hmm. But then if you go somewhere else, you may end up in submissive, but then you'll end up like in the bratty tone that talk a lot, you know, and then they get, yeah, you're right. So, you know, so you end up somewhere else, but I'm saying for someone submissive here, it's not the same as here. And that's why talking is important, because you can have misconceptions on either end about what you can do or what you want done to you.
Right. And you can make your kink out to be what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody mm-hmm. has a feet kink and they like socks on, or they like socks off, or they like pantyhose, or they like
exactly
whatever. You know, you can add in whatever you like it to be, or try and say, okay, yeah, no, I didn't like that. Let's try this. It's not about putting it in a box and making it, this is that kink. They're just defined exactly. in general terms.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Like for me, I'll throw me out under the bus. No, I'm just like me, I
that's
love.
That's your kink?
No, yeah, I know, right? Is that your kink?
run over by a bus?
Wait. Give me them tire tracks across my thighs, baby. like me, I like a female submission. And I love throwing in sometimes domesticity to it, you know, kind of like the barefoot pregnant, you know, 1950s housewife a little bit, just that play on it.
Right.
But do I want like the misogyny and the patriarchy that some humiliation, like, you know, if you get into some of those domestic role play or traditional gender role submission role plays, there is, you know, the male patriarchy and different things, you know, that go into almost the humiliating, you aren't worth anything if you aren't this. I don't need all that. Right. You know, I like the playful, mm-hmm. you know, in the kitchen. I cooked all day for
get
you.
Get in the kitchen and make me a yeah. pie.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I'm making your sandwich the way you like it. You know, like just the silly stuff, you know, that but for some people, they like the, you know, humiliating aspects of it. And that's great. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's fun and silly and enjoyable. Definitely. As far as safe words, there is, like you said, with kinks, there is no box. Your safe word
no.
phrases, signals can be anything. Are there the normal? A lot of people use the light system.
Yeah, the light system.
For those that don't
normal.
Know, yeah, the
I've
light
heard
system.
Heard a lot
just,
of.
It's yeah. It's oh. I think it's because I think most people generally anywhere cross community cross culturally know. You know, green light is go. Yellow light is like let's slow it down a little
slow
bit,
down.
Or maybe like yeah, mm-hmm. let's be a little cautious here. We're getting shaky, and obviously red light means stop. It means we're no longer keep going with whatever you're doing.
Otherwise, so picking safe words, you need to pick one that is not normally used in the bedroom.
It. Yeah, not
oh, baby
used.
Is not a good safe word.
Yeah.
Well, oh, God is not a good safe word.
Yeah, or like how you said stop or no or, yeah. you know, especially if you're into CNC or just so consensual non-consent play mm-hmm. and things like that. Obviously, saying stop and no is part of the scene that you're creating. So that is not going to be a valid, you know, a good safe
right.
word. And at that point,
I've seen
go ahead.
Several different ones that have been used. I've heard pineapple a lot for some reason. I don't know why. And vanilla, obviously, kind of.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Is a common safe word around these parts, I should say.
Yeah.
But I did have a friend who used Trump as a safe word because he figured that would kill any sex drive.
Oh, gosh.
And just kill it. It's
just
done.
Just kill it. Yeah.
Or,
well, we're done.
We jumped it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
But yeah, it's.
I've heard
words you wouldn't normally use in bed.
Yeah, eggplant.
Eggplant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is a different one and things like that. Yeah, just whatever, you guys. And it can be something silly. I've
yes.
heard my one friend said that they actually, him and his wife actually prefer to use sillier words because it kind mm-hmm. of, it lightens the mood of them having to slow down or stop whatever
right.
faucet they're using it for, you know, because this is something that I got. Question-wise, is that one of their worries is that their partner that they would be excited to do the kink and they would be getting into it, and then their partner would red light them or, you know, or yellow light them, and then it would throw off their whole mood and things like that. And so I'm not saying this would work for everybody, but what this couple does is when they're trying new things, they use something silly. Like, you know, like if it was eggplant or something, because it lightens the mood a little bit with the word choice. Mm-hmm. So that way they're just all like, haha, you know, I had to use the stupid word, like, you know, and, but they've been together a long time. Yeah, right. They've had to be together a long time. So for them, it works. But for some people, it would still mm-hmm. be like, you yellow lighted my kink, which, you know, you have to be okay. You have to accept that. Some people
and agreeing on it is important. So yeah,
exactly. Which does lead me into my next question, because obviously, like I said, I had some comments about it. What is your opinion on if you're trying new kinks or you're wanting to explore a new kink and your partner has basically shut it down? This is like if you say, oh, my kink, I want to try, let's just go with something simple, bondage. I'd like to try and explore bondage. Then this person that you've chose to explore with or that you've asked is hands down like, no. Or, you know, and so just throwing that base out there as a question, a starting ground for a question here. What would you say? What advice or what is your opinion on that kind of situation?
With that type of thing, I would ask them why they mm-hmm. say no. Try to address the fears behind it. Like maybe they watch Gerald's game and they're never going to be tied up. You know, hence why I never use handcuffs. But you know, you can be like, well, we could start with something you can easily get out of. You know, here's a silk scarf. If I tie the silk scarf and the knot is right by your hand, it's more of a mental tying than an actual tying. Would that help you mm-hmm. experience this? Mm-hmm. Try to back it up and give them examples that they might be more comfortable with. Mm-hmm. Or say, why don't you try it on me?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'll be the one that's tied up, or, you know, that type of thing. And if it's still a hard no, then I suggest going out and listening to audios and reading stories if your partner isn't okay with you trying it with someone else. But if they are, go try it with somebody else. Mm-hmm. But it's something that definitely needs to be discussed. And while you can open a dialogue about it, you still need to respect the boundaries of it.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't have said it really any better. I can only expound on it. But it's true, though, because I think that was a lot of people what they were worried about. And my first thing was like, don't approach it in a aggressive tone, but
right.
some people have very, very deep-seated and emotional reasons sometimes for not wanting to divulge or explore a kink. And
right.
sometimes just talking about it, you can discover these things and you can, you know, you'll see it from then. And they're not trying to ruin, they're not trying to be a buzzkill. I think that's what some people, especially right, some exactly. younger, more voracious, you know, excited kink explorers. They're so excited to try something, and when someone says no, then they're like, "You're just trying to ruin my good time," you know. Nothing to do with that, you know. And I love how you said try discussing it with them about exploring different avenues of the kink. There are, like you said, no kink needs to fit in a box for somebody else. Right. If it's your body and your relationship and your session or whatever, fit it to cater to you. So like you said, you know, if you have a problem with being tied up, then tie me up and let's explore it that way. And so you can get
talk about it
yeah
outside of the bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. Like, do that and stuff. And then, like how you said, some people don't like handcuffs. Some people do. Yeah, I've watched mm-hmm. Gerald's game. And after that, I don't see who would be into handcuffs. Like, you know, I'm not going to go out and buy a pair
trick
of handcuffs.
Trick handcuffs, sure. But no, I like my leather cuffs. Thanks that I can unbuckle.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I like how you said you have the ability to remove it. Like, you know, I know... Mm-hmm. For the longest time, I was very not into blindfolds. I didn't like the idea of not being able to see what was going to happen. So mm-hmm. So then when I was exploring it with a partner, I was able to, you know, we did have the tie, you know, because it was supposed to be a whole thing, with the wrist tie and the blindfold, you know, not having the, that was the kink, not having the ability to know. But mm-hmm. it was more of a mental tie, like you said, because at any moment I was able to pull the tie and pull the blindfold off if I got right. in a space where I was like, nope,
if you got overwhelmed, you know, or,
yeah, if I got overwhelmed exactly. or if I got inside my head, because that's what mm-hmm. a lot of it is. That's where a lot of reservations come from, and they're completely valid. If I got in my head, I had the ability to be like, nope, you know, and pull out of the kink of the space. I did have a partner. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a partner that hated blindfolds as well, and we did the closed eyes first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have the ability to open your eyes at any point. You know, but you're trying to keep your eyes closed to start there. And then it was like a see-through blindfold. And then you kind of moved up to where blindfold worked.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. Having the degrees. And that's a lot of things. People actually had one question or one comment that said they were afraid that they would on either end, that they would say, I want to explore this kink, and that their partner, or if they wanted to explore their partner's kink, they were afraid that there wouldn't be any building up. You know, they were afraid that that their partner or that they would get so excited that they would jump like 10 feet into the kink as opposed
grab
to
the
like,
whip. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. I want to try.
I want to be spanked. Get right. out the whip.
Yeah, yeah exactly. No. Like, you exactly. know, going for like the cane, you know, like, oh, I think I want to try impact play. Okay, well, I have this cane here. Like, you know.
Instead and of starting just, with your hand. Yeah.
I know, right? Yeah, start with your mm-hmm. hand. And I think that's part of like the fun part for me. Like, the, you know, even the ones I have reservations on. It's like finding mm-hmm. that good zone, but it, you know, it's like building up and stuff like that. Like, oh, I liked this. And then I guess to me it's exciting in the sense that like there I think when it I'm trying to how to explain myself here like I'm can't vocalize the words go figure a voice that can't vocalize
yeah well
but it's
we all get tongue-tied
go ahead times. Yeah I know but, yeah
go yeah ahead. I think that the discussing it and asking, you know, the whole check-in process. It's not a checklist. It's a check-in afterwards, mm-hmm. you know, what did you like about that? What didn't you like about that? You know, mm-hmm. how did mm-hmm. that feel? Do you feel like you want to go to the next level or try this again? You know, building up to things and communication are huge. And mm-hmm. that's the one thing I think that people fear is talking to their partner and asking this and having it just be shut down immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you're just stuck with, you know, porn and audios to explore that kink and you don't get to try it. Or you have to go find someone else to try it with type thing. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I think people, and I would encourage this from either end. People, when someone divulges their kinks to you, whether they're doing that as just, hey, like, well, I'm actually into that, you know, or something, you know, when they divulge their kink to you, they're being kind of vulnerable. I know sometimes they can even say it in a mm-hmm. joking tone, but they trust you on some level here. And especially if they're encouraging you, like as a partner or whatever your setup is, there are so many orientations and couple styles, you mm-hmm. know, if they are, then they're trusting you with that vulnerability and just wanting to explore something. So just be mindful, like you don't have to do anything you don't want and neither do they, but it's, you know, that's why we say discussion is a big deal because, you
know, check the judgment at the door for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like it's okay. But just understand that you just like we've said, their reservations could come somewhere internally. So can their turn-ons for something, you know, mm-hmm. and it just what it is. And I know that, you know, it's just, sometimes we don't know where these come from either, but you just have to be open and explore it together and there you go. And something I've also told people is, you know, if you can talk about it sometimes and you can explore why am I so interested in this kink, or this, you know, activity or this one.
Right.
Part
this role
of,
or
yeah or this yeah. role or this one part like some people you know, they don't like CNC or non-consent, consensual play. They don't like the whole avenue, but they like the blindfold part of it, or the gagging mm-hmm. of the mouth, or just the tied wrist, because visually they just think it's really pretty. And then they as they explored it more, they found out that really they love bondage and like shibari, like the very artistic style. Right. Visually, they just love it. So I'm just like, but if they didn't have a partner that they couldn't talk about these things with or explore them more or, you know, things like that, and be very patient with each other, then they would have never found out. And they've actually become a pretty prominent in the scene on the West Coast, and, you know, in a play space and stuff like that. And they do showcases artistically, which is really awesome. So, I mean, not everybody's going to be that. I don't think I'm going to be the artist with anything. but it's just like one of those things that they were able to discover themselves and be themselves. And they found something that they're really passionate about. And if they'd had a partner or no one to communicate with that, then they might not have found those things.
Right. Oh, it's like a lot of people that get into audios. I mean, I think you and I view audio porn as an art. And mm-hmm. I think that had I not been encouraged to dirty talk in bed, I wouldn't be as good as I am. So, mm-hmm. you know, that was my partner's kink. And I didn't think that it was that, you know, exciting until I started trying it. So,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's one of those things where you just give it a whirl. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big reason why I started the show as well. Like I started doing the audios and different stuff when I was exploring my own sexuality, and I just wanted to. I'm just one of those people that likes to learn and try everything, because you never know. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I don't like the mentality of, oh, I don't know what that is, I'm never going to try it. And I'm like, well, it just makes no sense to me. So
yeah,
you know,
the same way.
Yeah, so I just started doing everything, and then, you know, and then that's why the pod came about, is because so many people have so many questions, but they don't know where to start. They're afraid to explore. They're afraid to admit that they don't know, or that they, you know, they may be misinformed.
Or that they like this thing that, or they that think they no like one else it. Likes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was my thing. I was just like, I was like, oh, I'm perfect to do this kind of podcast, because I will be the first to admit that I don't know jack about something. That I'm, exactly. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay with being exactly. like, what's that? I have no clue.
I've discovered a whole lot of different things that I didn't know were even out there through talking to people with audios and making custom audios and whatnot. And they come to me and go, can you do this? And I'm like, sure. I've never tried that, but yeah, I can do that in audio, you know?
Yeah.
But it's helpful to be able to give them what they're looking for exactly. So, and some of mm-hmm. it, I mean, it's strange, but I don't judge people on what they like and what they don't like. I think that that's one of the weirdest things you could do. But mm-hmm. I mean, it's up there with, you know, judging people on the color of their skin or the color of their eyes or how curly their hair is. So,
exactly. Yeah, no,
it's just a part of them. It's just who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I think that's my thing. And on a lot of things, sex, you know, sexual and just a lot of things about our body and our sex is very instinctual, carnal. It's just driven so primally, and it's part of our natural makeup, mm-hmm. that, you know, it just is what it is. A lot of people have a different stuff. And, to judge somebody for it is just kind of silly. And, but that doesn't, not judging is the same as not, what is it? You can not judge somebody and then also not participate. You know,
right? Yeah, not judging is not the same as joining. Yeah,
exactly. You don't have to join exactly. That's what I mean.
But you can be like, I'm glad you like that, but that's not something I'm really interested in trying. But, you know, have you checked on this or looked at these stories or
checked over here? I think that's such a thing. And it's a hard balancing act, because especially in the community, mm-hmm. Where a lot of it is text-based, you know, either in comments, things like that, whether it's in our social areas for the community, it's so hard to read things over text and stuff. And a lot of people, if you say I'm not into something, then they, you know, then you'll get the one person, whether they're trolling or not, that don't kink shame. And it's just like, no, I'm not. I'm just saying that, yeah, like, I can see where you're coming from.
You didn't say, ew, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
You just said, I'm not into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mostly people are not, you know, and stuff. And then you, so it's a very hard ground. And I understand, especially with some people, and this is why I chose defining kinks. Some people are very defined and feel their identity is very attached to these roles or these kinks, mm-hmm, or fetishes. And so sometimes when we say, oh, I'm not into that and stuff like that, they take it very personally, very quickly. Right. So it's a dodgy ground sometimes. But just be mindful that when somebody says that that's not really my thing, they're not always saying that that makes you a bad person, a kinky person, a dirty person. It just means, right, you're not into it sometimes. Just is what it is. It's just one of those things. So, mm-hmm, just got to know how to move on. We've talked, you know, part of adult conversation is not agreeing. Let's debate, you know, do it.
You can debate without fighting.
Exactly. Exactly.
I almost think a definition of fighting as an adult is not listening to the other side. So if you're, mm-hmm, listening and you're just stating your opinion, as long as you're listening to their side and taking that into account, then it becomes a debate. And it's, mm-hmm, calmly done. It's not, you know, yelling and screaming and irrationally throwing things at each other. Then you're fighting. But debate is healthy and it's good. And you should talk to people that have other opinions and have other kinks. And otherwise, how would you find out about any of this? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of things I found out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, like, and that's my thing. I think my thing is when I say, oh, I'm not really into it, I'm just open about why I think I'm not into it. Like, oh, why would you, mm-hmm, why do you think you're not into this? Honestly, because from all I've seen, my uneducated self probably, I was like, of all I've seen, it looks painful as hell. Like, you know, I'm just not into like hurting that much. And then that's when I find, like you said, they don't all fit in the box. So, you know, mm-hmm, they're like, oh, no, you don't have to go. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'll be like,
that sounds interesting. Tell me more.
Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, mm-hmm, if that's what it is, then, well, dang, I probably could explore that part of it. You know, like, I mean, you never know.
Right.
So you just got to be open to that and stuff. And then that becomes a way more conducive conversation there. So, yeah, communication all around. So
yes, it's very important.
So we've really talked about a lot. We've kind of like hit on everything. We've hit it. Why is it important? Mm-hmm. Some different ways, you know, just about kink in general and exploring it. And that's really the big point of the podcast. And that's why I wanted to pick somebody that has a lot of experience to be on this episode and a lot of no bars held opinions, is that exploring kink and exploring these things is part of being a sexual adult. Not being afraid to have an opinion, not being afraid to have a voice. And that's something that I've discovered in the last couple of years is my own voice and my own sexual voice. So definitely we've talked about that. You can't be afraid. And just hitting on some questions, some different things, and you can rapid fire answer these for me because we pretty much know and we've kind of talked about them, but I had questions of, I'm afraid, what if I hurt my partner, or what if my partner hurts me? I'm assuming they mean emotionally or physically with exploring kink.
Right, which is where the safe word comes into effect and the talking about it beforehand and afterwards. You know, the communication, mm-hmm, and the safe word tied together definitely cover those bases. Yes, you may get a little hurt, but you can stop it before you're really hurt. Either way.
Yeah, like, yeah. So we've established that, like, the communication beforehand, knowing the level that we're going to go to. And I think we've also talked about when the person asked, I'm afraid about rushing the kink or that they're going to rush, mm-hmm, me, talking beforehand and deciding that this session or this time or we're going to start here, you know,
right,
that's
doing it in stages.
A big part of it. These are all this preamble that we're talking about, this foreplay, this conversational foreplay. That's what it's there for, exactly. You know, and stuff. A different thing, a question that I think, and this is even a reservation that I've had, is I'm worried, or that I have been worried or others are worried about either actually finding out that they don't enjoy the kink as much as they thought they would, and or not living up to the fantasy surrounding the kink that they think their partner has built.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think when that comes into effect, basically in any type of relationship, you're going to have things like that happen. There's been numerous mm-hmm. partners that I've had that I've tried something and I've been like, I'm not really into this. On either side, you being the one not into it or them being the one not into it, I think you just have to have the understanding that, you know, they tried it. They tried it for you. It's like kind of compare it to trying new foods.
Mm-hmm.
Every 3 or 4 years, I try tomatoes again because I don't like them. But I might like them later. There's lots mm-hmm. of kinks that I did not like in my 20s that I'm fine with now. So,
yes,
in fact, some of them I actually true. Like. So revisiting it later on, you know, okay, you don't like it now, but maybe we could watch this or listen to that, or just acceptance is a huge thing, because regardless of whether they like it or not, if it's, you know, even if it's built up in your mind as this great thing, it may just not happen now, or it may just not happen with this person, or, you know,
mm-hmm. exactly.
you just have to go into it knowing you're trying it. You try exactly. the tomato, doesn't mean you like it.
right,
still don't like
right?
them.
Yeah, no. And yeah, no. And I think that's food is a great analogy for mm-hmm. so many things, because it's such essential, in my opinion, essentially driven experience. I'm a huge foodie. So I think it's almost the same wheelhouse as sex in a lot of ways when you're dealing with taste, smell, texture, mm-hmm. everything like that. But it's true. Like I used to be, you know, we remember when we're younger, someone would put something in front of us, and I have, nieces and nephews and my friends' children, that, you know, you put something in front of them and you tell them what it was and they just up their nose. They're like, ooh, I hate that. You know, it's yes. like, have you ever tried it? No, I just know I'm not going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh, come on. You know, like, it's just food. But I think a lot of people do that for sex, and whether that's due to their what they think that, you know, they've heard. And a lot of times, sometimes it's bad experiences they've heard from people, because
right.
people are more willing to share bad experiences over good
than
ones.
Good, yeah.
Because, yeah, especially with sex, because I don't know, maybe it's because I'm from the conservative South, but to admit that you like sex is kind of it's kind of something we don't get into a whole lot.
Not in this country, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So admitting that you like sex is almost, you know, it's almost its own sin, you know. But to admit that you don't like something sexually or that you had a bad experience seems to mm-hmm. be more popular in any forum that I've found. But yeah, definitely try stuff. There are definitely kinks that I did not like, that I really enjoy now. I don't know if I've mentioned it before, so maybe you heard it here first, as we're just me and Jay are just throwing ourselves out there.
a little bit.
But I used to be 100% opposed to calling my partner daddy. It was not my thing.
I hated mommy too.
Yeah, see, I was not going to do it.
Mommy audience.
I know, right? Right? How many have you done?
Lost count. So, yeah.
Same thing with me with the daddy thing. It's almost mm-hmm. become like I love it now mm-hmm. because I see it in a whole different light. And I've gave myself the chance to explore it and pair it with other things that I really love. And so now it's changed for me what daddy means to me.
Right.
But for other people, it means a different thing. So,
well, and out of the gate with those two, for sure, there's even a bigger stigmatism with mommy. But they mm-hmm. immediately focus on adding incest to that. And it's like calling somebody master or sir or mistress or, mm-hmm. you know, goddess, whatever you choose. It's just another title.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't have to be about incest. So.
Oh, exactly. And that's, I know before I've had a one young woman, or I say young woman, she's mid-20s. she talked about how in the DDLG community, they hate the stigmas or the attachedness that they get, that people think that it's all incestuous, or yeah. they think it is, what do they call it? H play or lolly, mm-hmm. it's yeah. all in the same wheelhouse, and they That's say not. It gets grouped with them and they hate it, and I'm like, oh yeah, no. So it's the same thing for me, like the daddy thing to me in my mind, it plays into the whole breeding and the fathering thing to me.
It's like caregiver.
Yeah, caregiver type. Yeah. So mm-hmm. like, but I know for some people, it's very much the daddy, the DDLG, in the respect, and I don't want anybody to come after me, but in the respect of the, I'm the little, you know, and stuff, and the cutesy stuff and the bratsy right. stuff and stuff. To me, it's more of a different kind of, you know, but it's different, but it works for me. I know mm-hmm. how I mean it, and I know what I like about it.
Finding what works for you with that is, you know,
oh, yeah,
and somebody may look exactly. at certain kinks and just be like, oh, there's no way I could ever do that. But if you explore what your partner is seeing in that kink, either through visuals, porn, talking about it, reading stories, listening to audios, whatever that happens to be, then you can learn, oh, well, I thought it was about this, and they make it about that. And it can change your mind. Or it can just make you interested yeah. in trying it. Like,
exactly. And like you said, we're not, the big point is everybody feels like you have to fit into a box in anything. And unfortunately, we as people, it's easier for us to categorize things in our minds if mm-hmm. they fit inside a box, which is not good because that is not the way things work. It's just the way we do things. But it's the yep. same thing. It's some people would think that the end all be all of titles sexually is probably master. For some people, it is sir mm-hmm. or madam, you know, like it's, mm-hmm. you know, but for me, probably the epitome of titling might be daddy. So it, like, to me, that supersedes master, because I don't find any water in the master title, really, because right. it's not my wheelhouse. So, you know, so I'm just like, okay, you know, yeah. but if you want to be realizing, called daddy, I'd be like,
realizing I don't know that if kinks you're daddy are material. Personal and that's okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
You can make them like, what you like, want them on. To be. I had a exactly. friend of mine who was married to a woman, and he really, really was into feet. And she really thought this was the grossest thing in the world. And
oh, the feet? Yeah.
Yeah. So he bought her like a foot bath, and then he bought her like nail polish. And he did this whole like foot massage, like clean her feet, paint her nails, like uh-huh. pampered through the roof. And then he's like, can I kiss him? And he like worked up to it to where she's fine with it now. But, you know, it was like she yeah. thought of it as I take my shoes off and my stinky feet are a part of this. And that's not what it's always about to people.
No.
So no. that type of thing, it's like it's whatever you make it to be about is what the kink is. And it's just a broad stroke. It's like genres of music. It can be a pop song. And be completely different than any other pop song you've ever heard.
You oh, know? Yeah.
Or yeah. different types of exactly. food, you know? Yeah. So mm-hmm. people just think of it, oh, BDSM is this. No.
Oh, yeah. No. It's not. No, not so. At all. It's going back to food is like like tapas or charcuterie boards mm-hmm. or, you know, however you say that word. But, you know, I had one recently that was local farm, which I'm in the South. And so it was like sausages, different, you know, like the spicier cheese, peppers, Southwest flavors. But if you go to the North, it may be something completely different.
Right.
In flavor.
Barbecue in America. Depending on where you are right, is how right. it is. So,
yeah. Like some people, their mm-hmm. barbecue, when you say barbecue, they think ribs. Some people think brisket. Some people think, you know, like it's just all different stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, some so people definitely. Think
hamburgers and hot dogs in their backyard, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, so, you idiots. No, I'm just kidding.
That's not barbecue. That's barbecue.
That's not what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. But yes, that's a grill. You are grilling. Exactly. You are not barbecuing.
Exactly. But yeah, no, that's what, that's what I think people just have this misconception, like this means this because that's what I saw or that's what I read or that's what I heard, mm-hmm. you know, explore exactly. it, get into what that means to them. And it still may be like, okay, I want to sniff your stinky socks and I don't like that. Fine. But you find out what it means to them.
Exactly. Like, it's not, you know, and like I think you said earlier, just ask them why, or just ask them what do they think that it is, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if I say why I want to explore like this. Yeah. If I want, let's say that I'm into bondage and stuff. Oh, I don't like that. And I'm like, okay, well, what does it mean to you? Because when I say bondage, this is what I mean. Or look at this picture. Can I show you why I think it's attractive, you know?
Right.
And it's, yeah, there shouldn't be this huge thing of like, you know, it shouldn't be a big issue at that point. Like, you're just trying to, you're just talking. So definitely. So yeah, we basically talked about it. So my last two questions that I have is if you could say, and I think you said this very much in the beginning of the very beginning of the episode. So for those that may have forgotten, but on some closing notes here, if you could say there is a master role. Like, one role, if you're going to explore kink with somebody, whether you just met them and this is that sort of thing, or if it's somebody you've been with for years or somebody you really trust, what would you say is the master role to follow when it comes to exploring a new kink together?
Communication, for sure.
Communication.
Communication.
Number one, right out the gate.
Have to talk about it.
Communication.
Communication.
Exactly.
Second would be safe.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Second would be safe word. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and I think this goes hand in hand with communication, but it's consent, hands down. And that's part of it. You communicate the level of consent that you have to explore this kink with me and vice versa. Definitely.
I think some people are just, they're also scared of talking about it in a way that might scare the other person away, or in a way that might make them be like, you're a freak, and leave. And it may happen, but you still have to try to communicate it before you start. You can't just jump right into this stuff. So.
Oh, exactly. And I think that's what some people worry about. Like you said, definitely they worry that they're going to. And there are some crazy kinks out there. Or I say crazy. I don't mean that in a negative.
Just
there
different.
Are, I say, I mean crazy. Not yeah, common. Crazy and different, not common. And there's some that I had never heard of. That's what I mean in crazy.
Yes.
That I had never known.
Oh, yeah.
And they're labeled kinks, or they're labeled paraphilias or philias is the suffix at the end, which basically means that you gain it's not always arousal, but an extreme like that affects you. Yeah, a gratification or a bodily response from experiencing a sensory response. And sometimes it can be all the way up to arousal is right. What philias stand for. But there's ones that, you know, there was one that and I'll throw some of these out and I want to explore a lot of these. But I found a list of like 500 of them.
Wow.
Which I'm like, there's no way. You know, like in my head, I'm like, there's no way. But really, as I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, I could see where these would invoke responses and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just one of those things where – you know, you're worried that I know some people like you said the feet thing. We'll just use that because it is one that does often.
It's a common one that is.
It's a common one, but it's also one that construed so you know like oh, you know and I think it's because people have probably seen pictures of horrendous feet, and since then they don't like people's feet. They don't like you know, and they associate it with like the ground. But I'm like, most people wear shoes everywhere they go, so. Mm-hmm. Why, you know, why is this an issue? You know, but yeah, no, you're worried about telling them because you don't want to be looked at in that way. You don't want to be looked at like a freak or judged or, you know, because we do. Like I said, most people share negative experiences or the extremes that are, what do we call it? Shock factor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like that's usually what the internet loves to put out because that's what gets the most exposure, the most views, clickbait, you know. So when somebody says, hey, I'm into this kink, I'm into knife play, then automatically people, you know, oh my gosh, you're a killer or, you know, like whatever. Right. It's just like,
oh, no, that's disgusting. It's, oh, you can't do that.
Yes, you know, and stuff. But as you explore things, you know, you can learn that there is a certain amount of excitement of not even anything more than seeing the flash of the silver of a knife, you know, it's just like, you know, like it's just one of those things. It's a visual thing. And people, you know, they don't realize. So, you know, it, definitely like everybody's worried about that. And that's the point. Find out why. Like if your partner divulges a kink to you and you're not feeling it or you're unsure about it, then just start asking questions. Why? You know, or
don't judge.
Could you visually show me? It's okay to ask too.
What do you
too.
Think about
Yeah, it's okay
that.
To ask. Yeah, why? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think about it? What is so appealing to you know? And don't be afraid to say, okay, I'm going to stop you there and say, I'm a little worried because this is my only conception of this kink. So is that, you know, is it that element of it? Is it, you know, mm-hmm. then that's all you have to do. Open the channels there to the dialogue. Yes. So I would also say, I know that a guest I will have later in the show preaches probably three rules when it comes to exploring kink or just hookups in general and things like that. Three rules. Is it consensual? Is it legal? And then for obvious reasons. And number three, is it safe in the sense that will there be no psychological, mental, emotional, or physical harm, you know, that is not consented upon this person? Because, obviously, if we're talking caning and stuff like that or different kinds of impact play, there will be marks, which some would say is physical harm.
But some like those marks, and it's different for each person and what their limits are. And consent. Yeah.
So they don't see it as harm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So finally, in closing, the last question I have, do you think, what sort of expectations might one have? What are some things, we kind of talked about it a little bit, but when it comes to approaching your partner with a new kink or something you haven't tried, or discussing having one of these discussions, what are some expectations that they should be aware of to be met with?
A lot of people are going to expect the other person to not be as accepting, approaching it in a calmer manner, not, you know, in the heat of sex. Or in the heat of sexting, even approaching it, you know, outside of that bubble, I think is going to have better expectations from the other person, because it shows that you're serious about that type of thing. But putting yourself out there regardless in any type of relationship takes a little bit of courage. So you can't always expect someone to accept everything about you. I often say, like, you can't change reactions of other people. You just change how you react to them. And if you're calm the entire time and you use a lot of, you know, this is what I think statements, you know, this is how I feel about it, it can go a little better than just exploding, either hearing it or being the one to talk about it. But it is a hard talk sometimes. I'm not going to say every time, but it can be a hard talk. So it's important to get your thoughts in order and, you know, that type of thing before you sit down to have it.
Exactly. Definitely. Yeah. The expectations. I mean, that was the name of the game. I like how you said it's a responsible thing to do, and it does mean that you are serious about it. And I think that's what this whole episode is, practicing kink responsibly. I'm not trying to change, well, in a small way, I'm trying to change the world a little bit. At least the kink community or the adult community here, the adult sexual. I mean, we claim to be sex positive, but there are so many things that pop up that people are still surprised about. And like, I don't know if I've said it somewhere, or I've probably said it somewhere, but, you know, I was not going to jump on that. It's 2019, folks. But in some regards, especially as sexual adults, it's 2019, folks.
Yeah.
There are things out there that have been around for centuries that we have issues talking about, because we have issues as adults talking about sex.
Talking about things without arguing about them, without having to have a strong opinion. You know,
without
judging
or just talking.
And that's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I love technology. It has given us so much and so much freedom and so much luxury that we don't realize. But in that sense, we've forgotten how to face to face talk to people. And then if you want to throw sex into the mix,
Well, good Lord.
You know, I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, like, I'm sorry, but that's a Southern thing. Like, oh, Lord, I can't talk about it. You know, and you fan yourself because you just, you know, it's just one of those things. So, I mean, like, and that's the problem. People mm-hmm. in this is definitely a problem when you can't do so with your partner. And it's huge. It's a huge thing because a sexual healthy relationship, which can involve kink or maybe that's not y'all's wheelhouse, it means talking. So it's huge. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I this show is not to really, it's not to educate anybody on kinks. It's just to explore them and to get things open that, help, you know, help quell you, the yeah, help you know around that, them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's to basically get, you know, you okay to let you know that everybody has reservations. Everybody mm-hmm. has issues talking about it. It's just being able to get over that. It, you know, it's the same yeah. thing. Like, you know, we used to be little kids and when sex was mentioned, we were like, you know, we would giggle about it and stuff, right? And
my nephew don't get me wrong, was like, they do that on purpose?
Yeah.
So,
right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, like you, when you were kids and now you're adults and the funny thing is a lot of us became adults and maybe we don't giggle, but when somebody brings sex up, we go quiet. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I'm like, if you're a sexually active adult, especially if you're in a kink community or anything like that, you shouldn't be afraid to say something or to chime right. in or to admit you don't know. And I think that's what I've heard most of all. I've heard adults that are mid-20s to 50s that still have issues being able to talk openly to their partners or to other adults about sex.
Yeah, and, ask those questions, you know, ahead. Even if it's of other people yes, and outside your relationship, just to find out more about it. They came to you and said they like mm-hmm. X, Y, or Z, and you're like, I need to go talk to some people to find out about it. Ask questions. You don't look stupid. You look like you want to be informed. Oh. And that's the difference.
Exactly. And I think as I've become more open with just asking questions, because I just want to know, that's my, if I don't know how to do something, I want to know. Just because that's my way. But sometimes asking an impartial party that doesn't know you or your partner actually is a good thing. Mm-hmm. I ended up making really good friends, but I wanted to know a little bit more about tying and something that scares me, or it did scare me a little more before, is a suspension tying. So like mm-hmm. bondage and stuff where they're suspended. And in my head, I thought never, like it just scared me on a lot of levels. And after I met a couple, they do it. I watched it. She mm-hmm. suspended 8 foot off the floor. And I was like breathless the whole time, scared mm-hmm. for her life. But, you know, after talking to them, but these people learned. That didn't know me. Yeah, I learned. And I was very more comfortable. Like, now am I ready to jump up and be suspended? No. Not yet. No. But I see the beauty in it. I see the trust. I see the catharticism in it. A lot of things. So, yeah, it doesn't hurt to say, I don't know. Please tell me.
Yeah.
Or point me in the direction. Or what do you know?
Paid commissions or audio requests where people come to me and go, can you do this? And I'm like, I can. Can you tell me more about what that is? You know, mm-hmm. or how that mm-hmm. works or what you like about it to know. Exactly. And they're always like, you're so kink positive. And I'm like, well, that's kind of what people should be. This shouldn't be a surprising thing. People should want to know more, you know, like about what your hobbies are. Well, just transfer that to sex. You want to learn about magic cards or suspension play?
Right.
So
yeah, exactly.
Either way.
No, and same thing here. Getting, ask questions. You know, or even, yeah, commissions, requests, everything. There's some that I've gotten mm-hmm. that I had no clue. I didn't know what it was.
I didn't know it was even a kink. And I learned so much about it doing it too.
Yeah. So I was just like, okay, so what? Yeah, exactly. Same questions. I wasn't afraid to ask. You know, it just is one of those things. If I don't know, I'd like to know. So
yeah.
So in summation, definitely communication. That is
consent.
We are agreeing. Communication is consent, and it is the first step of mm-hmm. practicing safe kink. Don't be afraid to talk about it. You're adults. We know what sex is, whether you're a virgin or whether you are
in this 50 day and
years
age
into the swinger game.
You know what sex is,
right?
If you're a virgin.
You're right. Yeah. You're, you know, so we all know what it is, you know, so stop. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know. Don't be afraid to say, this is all I know. Mm-hmm. And then just learn. Just learn. It's all good. Yep. If you want to enjoy sex more, then that means playing into your kinks sometimes and exploring them. And yes. Nobody can fault you for that. They may not agree with it. They may not like it personally, mm-hmm. may not be into it. That doesn't mean that they think any less of you and vice versa.
Yes.
So
that's the big
key. So please, yes, practice it responsibly. Have fun. Make sex fun. I think that's more my term that I've used more.
And
yeah. Yeah. Yes. Accept, communicate, have fun. Thank you so much, Jay Wild, for being on my show today.
Thank you for having me. It was great.
You're welcome. You can find Jay on Reddit. She is all over Reddit, and she's also on YouTube now mm-hmm. and Twitter. Mm-hmm. She's branching out, and folks.
Instagram, I think. I'm putting food pictures there.
Oh, my God. We're asking okay, well, for that's them, a new so, yeah. Hey, well, now I've got a new Instagram to follow. So. I'm all about the food. I'm all about the food. Yeah, we're gonna find you. We'll hook you up with Jay's stuff and pertinence and that resource that I talked about because it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Good Dom versus Bad Dom. Feel free to subscribe, share to your heart's content. The more listens we get, the more feedback I can get to know the direction you guys want me to take the show in. I love it so far. This is something I'm super passionate about. So.
Questions you want answered.
Yes, questions. We just said please ask. Please yes, ask.
Please ask. Just please ask. Ask.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. All right. Well, we will catch you guys next week with a brand new episode. I'm super excited. It's going to be super fun. And so look out for it. And we'll see you then.
Bye.